SBS Radio.
Shalom, Australia. Just under 2 weeks before the final deadline for Prime Minister Netanyahu to submit a coalition to the Knesset, talks appear to have stalled and no agreement has been signed with any party. Without reconciling the conflicting demands of Yisrael Beiteinu and the ultra-Orthodox parties, as well as other factions, Netanyahu will be unable to achieve a coalition of at least 61 seats in the 120-member Knesset. The Prime Minister may be looking at forming a government of just 60 lawmakers, half of the Knesset total. While the establishment of a non-majority government right after parliamentary elections would be unprecedented in Israel, it is theoretically possible. A non-majority government would be formed without the Yisrael Beiteinu party led by Avigdor Lieberman. Even if Lieberman does not join the government, he would not actively vote against it, leaving the coalition with a simple majority of 60 to 55. Likud MKs have said that the secularist hawkish Lieberman has demanded more than his fair share of control over ministries and government policies, including the defence minister post, a more secularist religion and state stance, and a more combative posture towards Hamas in Gaza. A key sticking point in coalition talks is Lieberman's demand that no changes be made to a bill regulating the draft of ultra-Orthodox men into the army. The bill, which passed the first reading in the Knesset during the previous parliament, is opposed by ultra-Orthodox parties who want to make alterations in the legislation to reduce the quotas of those who would be called up for national service. Meanwhile, the Kulanu party, led by Moshe Kahlon, the finance minister in the outgoing government, in which he controlled 10 Knesset seats, is now seeking to hold on to the job despite his party shrinking to just 4 seats and has refused to conclude his coalition talks with Likud. Kahlon's stipulation is that he will only sign a coalition agreement after he has seen the financial demands of all the other member parties and reached an understanding with Netanyahu on which can be met. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has decided to advance legislation that will ensure he cannot be prosecuted so long as he remains in office, and has begun briefing his Likud party's Knesset members on how to sell the move to the Israeli public. In his maiden speech to the Knesset on Monday, Kahol Lavan party leader and prospective opposition leader Benny Gantz warned of a growing danger to Israeli democracy under the current government and vowed to stand as a bulwark against attempts to erode state institutions and the rule of law. He accused Prime Minister Netanyahu of seeking to bury his criminal cases through political deals. Paraphrasing a passage from Psalms, he said the party would in the coming years plough the public and the political fields, so even when it's difficult, even with tears at times, but we will not give up and we will remember that a day will come, and it's not far off, when we will reap with joy with songs of harvest. Gantz has criticised Netanyahu's reported plans to promote a bill that would allow the government to overrule the High Court of Justice on administrative matters. If passed, the bill could safeguard the Prime Minister's immunity from prosecution by permitting the annulment of any judicial decision that would rescind it. Palestinians in the Gaza Strip and West Bank participated in mass rallies on Wednesday, marking the 71st anniversary of the Nakba, or catastrophe, surrounding the establishment of the State of Israel. In Ramallah, hundreds of people marched from the grave of late Palestinian Authority President Yasser Arafat to a rally downtown, calling for the return of Palestinian refugees to lands that are now part of Israel. In Gaza, at least 10,000 people flocked to the border with Israel at several locations. Several balloon-borne incendiary devices landed in southern Israel, where they sparked at least 9 blazes. In a speech at the border area, senior Hamas official Fatih Hamad warned Israel that the day of your slaughter, extermination and demise is approaching. We came to tell the Zionist enemy, its men, army, government and Knesset, go away from us. All of you should look for a place in Europe. There's no place for you in Palestine. There's no place for you in the land of Jerusalem. There's no place for you in the Al-Aqsa Mosque, Jaffa, Haifa, Akko or any other place. By 4 p.m., the Israeli military said Palestinians had already begun leaving the border area. Poland's ambassador to Israel, Marek Magrzyowski, said he was assaulted on Tuesday afternoon by 65-year-old Arek Lederman outside the embassy building on Sutin Street. The ambassador managed to take a picture of the attacker and his vehicle, which he handed over to police. Police on Wednesday morning arrested Lederman, whom they suspect spat at the ambassador's car. Lederman said later that an embassy guard addressed him as Zhid when he visited the embassy, an assertion the ambassador later dismissed, and that the ambassador's car beeped at him. His lawyer said he had apologized for the incident and he had no idea the ambassador was in the car. The incident came amid a bitter standoff between Poland and Israel over how to remember the Holocaust and over demands that Poland pay reparations for former Jewish properties seized by the Nazi Germany and later nationalized by Poland's communist regime. Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki condemned the attack in a tweet, calling it racist and xenophobic. Israel is on God's side. U.S. Ambassador to Israel David Friedman said on Tuesday at an event celebrating the one-year anniversary of the U.S. Embassy's opening in Jerusalem, which he described as a new shrine. After almost a year of preparation, the Eurovision Song Contest kicked off in Tel Aviv on Tuesday night with a high-powered display of glitz, pyrotechnics, and fun with the first semi-final. Thousands of fans packed the Tel Aviv Hall, waving flags and cheering patriotically. Outside at the Eurovision Village, crowds gathered every night of the week. From Thursday night until the finals last night, there were more than 100,000 people there each night. Australia's Kate Miller-Heidke, who performed her power ballad Zero Gravity, was a public favourite here. She and her backup dancers performed on the stage on stilts, or on what local commentators described as skewers, shipudim. The Shalva Band, a group of musicians with various disabilities, performed an emotional song in the second semi-final on Thursday night. In the finals last night, Sweden won the vote of the professional juries in the 41 countries, with North Macedonia runner-up, and Australia was placed sixth. The popular vote gave the final result to Netherlands, with the judges' favourites receiving low support. The enthusiastic atmosphere was almost free of politics that many Israelis feared would spoil the festivities. Iceland's delegation did fly Palestinian flags when their score was announced. Madonna's appearance was not only a celebration of music, but a message. Music unites everyone. But not quite everyone. Hundreds of ultra-Orthodox yesterday clashed with police in Jerusalem during a protest against the desecration of Shabbat by Eurovision. While the final did not begin until after Shabbat, rehearsals and production preparation took place earlier in the day. An estimated 200 million viewers worldwide watched the show in Tel Aviv. This is Peter Jones-Pellach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem. SBS.com.au